Today's Mass is being offered for the intentions of our Archbishop John Charles Wester in thanksgiving for him allowing us to come back to Mass at this time. Do you desire me to read the readings for you in English? It was really tough to find them in English today. Okay, we'll give them to you in English. A reading from the book of Sirach. Behold, a great priest who in his days pleased God and was found just. In the time of wrath, he was made a reconciliation. There was not found like him who kept the law of the Most High. Therefore, by an oath, he made him to increase among his people. He gave him the blessing of all nations and confirmed his covenant upon his head. He acknowledged him in his blessings. He preserved him for his mercy. He found grace before the eyes of the Lord. He glorified him in the sight of kings. He gave him a crown of glory. He made an everlasting covenant with him and gave him a great priesthood and made him blessed in glory to execute the office of the priesthood and to have praise in his name and to offer him a worthy incense for an odor of sweetness. The word of the Lord. Please stand for a reading of the Holy Gospel. For even as a man going into the far country called his servants and delivered to them his goods. And one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to everyone according to his proper ability. And immediately he took his journey. And he that had received the 5 talents went his way and traded with the same and gained another 5. And in like manner, he that had received the 2 gained another 2. But he that had received the 1 going his way, digging into the earth and hid his Lord's money. But after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And he that had received the 5 talents coming brought another 5, saying, Lord, thou didst deliver unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained another 5 over and above. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Because thou hast been faithful over few things, I will place thee over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And he that also had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained another 2. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Because thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will place thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Thus concludes the Holy Gospel. So today, very briefly, we're celebrating the feast day of St. Ubaldus, St. Ubald, but also the feast of St. John Nepomuceno. Glorious time for us to be celebrating these two feast days of these two great saints here on a Saturday in honor of Our Lady. That's why we're at Our Lady's altar right here. So thank you. This is a way of saying thanks. We only invited those who were present at Adoration, benediction to come to this Mass and their families. And so here you are who are here present. You know that at every Mass, no matter when it's held, we can always have up to 60 people present within the church as well as an infinite number outside the church. Holy Communion will normally be given on a regular day outside the church on the curb on that place. We'll have a couple of these barriers, these prayers set up there to receive Holy Communion. Given the realities of daily Mass, there's no need to go outside because I'm sure that we won't get 60 people normally, so we can just go ahead and have communion here to be able to receive. I do ask that you only occupy these two extreme ones so that we, or if you will line up in a place where I can get to you, probably that's the best thing to do, just do 2 at a time to keep the proper social distancing that our Archbishop desires. So St. Ubaldus. Does anybody know anything about him? No, you don't. Okay, that's fine. We talked about him last year. Last year, I believe we preached on him as well. So St. Ubald is an incredibly great saint in the 1100s. The 1100s or the 12th century. He was a young man who loved the Lord even from his youth, but turned away all sorts of people who were presented to him as good matches for him for marriage. He said he didn't want that. Time and time again, he turned them down, and finally he consecrated his own virginity to God and saying, I just want to pursue God. That's it. And so he went his way through all sorts of other things that are not important for what I'm going to talk about now. What did he end up doing? Eventually, he ended up founding a monastery. The monastery burned down. He said, okay, that's my sign that I get to go off and be a hermit now and just be with God alone. The one who he went to for his spiritual advice to move out into the hermitage said, shut your mouth, you're running away from what God is actually asking you to do. Go back and do what God has called you to do in the world to build a holy community. And so he went to rebuild that monastery, and it was greater than it was before. And finally, they pressed him to make him a bishop. Now, he didn't want to be a bishop, so they forced him to become a bishop. And in becoming a bishop, he was presiding over the care of his flock there in the town of Gubbio, this beautiful place in northern Italy. And when he was there, he was trying to make sure the works of religion were spread, that the gospel was proclaimed, that the poor were taken care of, that construction projects were made. And so he went over to one of the men who was building out there, one of the construction workers who was in charge of this great edifice that was being put up. And he said, I would like to negotiate with you an expansion of my place at a particular cost. And the man would have nothing to do with it. He said, just give me this little easement here, so to use a modern term, to give me an easement on this property over here so that we can actually have a thoroughfare that is properly situated here. And the man said, no, I'm not going to do it for such an exorbitant cost. And a very difficult movement happened, such that the construction worker, though St. Ubaldus was very kind and generous and loving in all these ways, was so incensed by the fact that he was being asked to do something slightly different than what was asked for of him, he took his hand and threw him, threw the great bishop. Taking his hand, tossed him. This bishop, who was standing there in full regalia, as normally he would be, threw him into a pit of mortar. Mind you, that it is a mortal offense, meaning mortal sin, and actually a capital offense in those times, meaning your life should be demanded of you, to strike a bishop, to strike a priest in any way, even more so one's own bishop in that time. And so covering up from that, he just wiped the mortar off of himself and proceeded to act like nothing happened. But the problem is that everybody saw what happened. And so this couldn't go on. And so everybody was in an uproar. They realized, they demanded, the magistrates of the town demanded that he be exiled and never allowed to enter ever again. He, neither any of his workmen, to enter again into the whole country of Gubbio that was there in the surrounding area, to be totally exiled from the place. The bishop said, no, look, this isn't that bad. I'm fine. He's fine. Let's just continue as normal. Maybe I deserve that for a former sin of my life. That's what a good holy bishop would do. Instead, what happened is they said, no, he should die for his offense. We're giving him mercy by exiling him. He and his like are not to be visited in this town ever again. He said, look, the offense was against me. This is my jurisdiction. I can deal with my own household as I deem fit. At that, the people backed off ever so slightly, waiting to see what he would do, knowing that he had to do something in the extreme. What did the good and holy bishop do? The good and holy bishop arraigned him in there in the presence of all, told him that this is your punishment for having to do so, that you come close, in that you give me the kiss of peace, making a reconciliation for your life. Physically kiss him on the cheek, and all would be forgiven. The man was greatly thankful for having that, and lowered himself in such a way, which isn't to lower him, but actually to be received at a higher place, to be able to be so close and intimate with the bishop. Forgiving that wrong, St. Ubald not merely prevented evil from occurring in sending a man out and making sure that justice would be served, but also gave good and holy example for all offenses of those who would suffer offenses within his whole territory of Gubbio. One way in which he lived out to turn the other cheek, in that way, turning the other cheek not to be struck again, but turning the other cheek to win a soul for Christ. That is one way in which you and I ought to, during this time, to turn the same way. I noticed that in many conversations and many whisperings, whether in present or in my presence or online, I've seen lots of attacks against persons, lots of attack against judging motives of individuals, lots of attacks desiring that equal be meted out upon equal, that evil be returned for evil. But what does the great bishop of Gubbio tell for us today? That the great bishop, St. Ubaldus, he reminds us what? That the offense is nothing like the reconciliation. that where sin abounds, grace truly abounds all the more. St. John Nuopusamino, as you well know, is the patron saint of the confessional. What did he do? But even when he was asked to declare what happened between him and the queen, who was his confessee, because the king knew that his wife was committing adultery, he said, if you would just tell me, because I already know that's what she's doing, so that I can put her out, just confirm that for me as my witness, and I will lavish upon you all sorts of offices. I will make you the great bishop. I will make sure that your life is taken care of in total. You will be successful in every way beyond your wildest dreams. I will fulfill everything that you could ever desire for all of your entire life. Just confirm to me that she's committed adultery. The bishop says, the young priest, John Nuopusamino, said, I have no knowledge of her sins. What she has spoken to God. I can't say anything more. I know nothing more. At this, the king was enraged. Doing so, he demanded the life of this man, putting St. John Nuopusamino to death for not sharing the secrets of the confessional, for beholding the sill. He also put his wife to death in that moment, later on to find, after having murdered both of them, that no offense had even been occurred. St. John Nuopusamino is one who understands the value of confession. Each of you are invited to come to Holy Communion today, if you've gone to confession, if you're right with God. Now, what are the precepts of the church? That we have to go to confession at least once every year during the Easter season, hopefully, or at the end of Lent. Once every 365.24 days, we have to go to confession, whether we've committed a mortal sin or whether we've not committed mortal sin. If we haven't done that, don't come to Holy Communion today. Come to confession. We'll have it whenever you want, really, or at the normal 4 o'clock hour. Come be reconciled to God. Because what? The worst imaginable sin that you could do is to, after having committed any mortal sin, whatever it is, to take communion. That is the worst of all mortal sins. If you can think of the worst possible mortal sins, taking communion after any of them is the worst mortal sin. So don't be guilty of that worst mortal sin. We don't want anybody to not receive God's grace when they come to Holy Communion, and spread these things. Maybe you already live this out really well. Great. I'm happy for you. If you don't, do it. If you do, tell others about this. Because there's nothing worse than to receive our Lord unworthily. St. Ubaldus teaches us the way in which we need to forgive others their offenses. St. John Nuopusamino says the way in which we need to defend the secrets of what is forgiven in the confessional. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.